Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is one of our great friends of the show. His name's Jason Finley, and it's great to have you on, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm cooling off or warming up a bit. What's the right
word? I was
going
to say, you're cooling off. That's a bad time of year to be doing that.
We're recording right in between March and April, which is the most bipolar moment Ohio can possibly have when it comes to weather. So yeah, I've seen 20s and I've seen 80s in the last week, and I've seen winds at 3 mph and 30 mph. So okay. Yeah. I guess I'm just confused.
A little rough around here too, you know. Yeah,
shut up.
We've been setting heat records. It was 90 degrees here last week. It's cooled down a little bit today. It's like 69, so it's a little cool. I had to wear, a pullover today. So,
you always live up to the name Darth Finley in so many good ways, and I'm glad that California weather is just simply one piece of your arsenal. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, well, we pay the sunshine tax for a reason.
Well, hey, how are vibes around the office right now? We're cooling off a little bit from release season. The PGA yep. show energy is settling in, and buyers are getting the clubs in hand. People are getting the clubs in hand. And what's the energy like around the office?
It's good. I think, this is always a pretty fun time of year because you get a pretty good sense, what kind of year you're going to have in the first quarter, right? We're basically there. We've had good feedback across the board, pretty much on everything, right? From, obviously Quantum's gotten off to a great start. People, talking about the performance and things like that. If you look at it, we generally, I would say, don't come out of the gates as strong as some others. But where we really see ourselves winning more often than not is when people get into the bay and, start to see what reality is rather just the perception or walking in and grabbing something. So we're kind of in that heart of it for us right now, where we're starting to see that really take over. So that's good, right? We're excited about that. Couple categories here and there aren't as good as others, right? Some are better than others. So it's, which you're always going to deal with, and, just managing through the day-to-day, whatever the economy or the government or whatever they throw at us, from whether it's, this time a year ago, we were talking about tariffs, and now we've got war, you could say, happening. So, just dealing with that stuff every day, but it's always something. It seems we never get just a nice, easy, smooth year. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious. I feel like I've played every iteration of Callaway for like over a decade now. It just ends up in the bag no matter what happens.
Yeah, me too, somehow.
Good, bad, or indifferent. But I think it's one of those things. Like it for me, it hasn't always been the first club that's gone in the bag. But by the time release season is over, I've hit it and it's justified its role. Yep. And unlike you, I have the great privilege of trying everything and saying like, maybe I should switch it up a little bit, but for it to always sort of end up back in there. It's been a lot of fun to experience all the evolution of yep. the Callaway product. What I'm curious about is, in my perspective, since I've already hit Quantum, I found it to be unusually straight. And I don't want to say that in a negative way, but I've also played like the lower spin profiled head from you guys. So like the understanding that there is a little bit of shaping that goes on with that type of head. My experience so far is it's absurdly straight no matter who hits it. And I'd love to know, is that the energy going around? Is that the things you guys are hearing? What's the big standout story for Quantum?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. One is obviously the speed, right? With the Triforce face, we really think we unlock something there. But so often speed is kind of something that everybody's chasing, right? Like hand firmly raised myself, but at the end of the day, what do you do along with that speed? And, part of where we've done a very good job, I'd say, with our technology and our tools is to make a driver that's really significantly more consistent across the board. And I would say that not only from a ball speed perspective, but also really kind of minimizing the delta or the change in spin where you hit it on the face. So I think most people know, right? You hit it on the low on the face, it spins more. You hit it high on the face, it spins less. So really reducing that amount. So if you had a range of this, go into a range of this, which is going to lead to that straighter piece, right? Because if you have that little bit of side spin and you overspin it, or, you know, that's going to lead to some problems. So similarly on the side spin, we've gotten that kind of dialed in. So we tend to look at it, we call them ellipses, right? Where we look at where the ball actually goes. And pretty clearly we have an advantage over the field in that area. So, you know, if you can get those farther out and tighter, that's a pretty good combination. So that's where we've really seen with Quantum some big moves.
Yeah, it's just funny, man. Like, not to devalue the marketing side of it, because there's a big story to tell there, but yeah. It's always funny when you get the club in your hand, and by you, I mean the consumer,
yeah.
and it truly lands on its own identity, regardless of what people have said about it. I think that is why I felt like I had to talk about it today. And I was curious as to whether you were getting the same feedback locally that I am over here. And it's just like, you know, what a differentiator. I mean, there are certain heads out there that you say, yeah, I expect that club to go pretty straight, but it's not quite there in these other elements that people want, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas this is a head that's always battling the speed demon or the top speed profile. Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute, I get that too now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I should play that a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're definitely seeing that, whether it's in some of the reviews or feedback or whatever we're seeing, right? That you're always going to have a leg up if somebody can walk in and hit yours the fastest, right? Because that's just kind of the way we're all meatheads at the end of the day, right? We're chasing that. But it's kind of like what I always tell people when they go in to get fit, to don't just look at your one best shot, right? Because we all want that ball that we can hit however far our longest drive is, right? It's different for all of us. But really, where's the sum of the parts go that's going to give you the best chance of success? So that's kind of when I think about how I evaluate a product or whatever it may be. And that goes into irons too, frankly, right? Of how do you get that most consistently long shot that you can?
Yeah, it's fun to experience it and, you know, see the different versions. But it's also interesting to see how it's applied. And what I mean by that is, what are you using to get there? And more importantly, and more relevant to you in this case, what ball are you using to get there?
Yep.
So
yeah, it can make a huge difference in terms of, right? Same thing goes for ball, really, right? I mean, we have some balls that are faster than others, right? Triple Diamond and X are faster than Chrome Tour, which is faster than Chrome Soft, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the longest golf balls, right? So if you're someone that spins it a lot, well, Chrome Tour X may not be right for you because it could hurt your distance at some point because it spins too much, so you're not going to be able to hit it as far. Or if you're someone that doesn't spin it enough, Chrome Tour Triple Diamond probably won't be beneficial for you, even though it's really, really fast. Chrome Soft, right? Again, I'll throw myself in this mix, right? Someone that's lost a little bit of speed, maybe isn't as good as I used to be, needs a little more help getting the ball up in the air. I actually hit Chrome Soft the farthest, even though if I put it on a driver, it might be the slowest ball for me. But I'm going to hit it farther because of the flight characteristics of that ball. So it's all about dialing it in. And I think, you know, really, particularly with the adjustability and drivers, you can work through the driver more than you can some of the other clubs, but you know, it's why it's so important and it's hard, right? I get it. Cause you can't really do a full bag fitting in a hitting bay environment with a golf ball just because aero plays such a key role and all that. But to get them out on the golf course and see where it is in those windows that you're looking for and things like that is super important for the ball side of it. But where we've seen some tremendous advantages are, you know, look, the reality is we all know who the leader in the golf ball category is, right? So there's a lot of people playing that brand. And so let's say they get fit into a Quantum driver, and then you can throw that little cherry on top and, oh, try it with this. We've already given you more speed. Now try it with this. You're going to pick up even more, right? So we've found some success in that as well, really the combination of the two.
So I had an interesting experience yesterday, and I'd love to relate this more to the fitting side of things, but for me it was simply having time in a hitting bay, and it was a place that had – and always has a bunch of balls to use in each simulator that are there. More often than not, it's a relatively premium ball. In this case, I assumed it was, and I hit my own personal 8-iron about 5 times, and I thought, this ain't it. You know, this sucks. And I looked down, I'm like, it's not even that. It's like a practice version of a trash ball. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what happens when you, so I'm relating that to my own experience. Like, infinitely, I hate the way my own club sounds, which I've loved for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, how many of these brick and mortars out there, or how many of these places, and I'll use another example, driving ranges have these huge fitting days that require the quality of the experience to be based on the golf balls that sit within those simulators, or within those big buckets of top flight, whatever's, you know, that, that's the real challenge. I assume on the fitting side, how much do you guys talk about that at Callaway, getting your own ball incorporated as fast as you can in the fitting?
Where we can, it's obviously hard, right? You go to a golf course, you can't have, you know, every ball there for people to hit. I mean, just the cost alone of that, frankly, is probably prohibitive, of doing that. But the more you can find ways to do that, or the environment to do that, the better off you will be. And that's where it really goes back to what you're doing on the golf course. And some of the, launch monitors actually have modes where you can select the ball. And if you have a range ball, it'll normalize it to, you know, at least a more, I'll call it regular golf ball. So there are becoming more and more tools. And I think that will continue to evolve and grow as the market does. I mean, I think back to when I started in this business, right, which was way longer ago than I care to really admit. but it was super easy to say, oh, this driver is 5 yards longer, right? I mean, nobody had any way to truly measure that other than going out and playing with it, right? There was no tools. But now anybody, certainly that's a part of THP or most other places, they have a quantifiable way to see those differences in most cases. So there's still some challenges, right? Like, not every ball's trajectory code's built into the launch monitors. You know, if you're hitting inside, that becomes a problem. If you're hitting outside, it can be better. But the more you can do to try and get yourself into a good spot, you know, and it's incumbent on the fitter as well to really understand the difference between some of those balls, the premium balls, let's call them that, if you will, and what the range ball you're using is. Because frankly, not every range ball is created equal either. Mm-hmm. And you go to some places, right, and they've got 8 different types of balls in their range balls too. I mean, it's just the reality of it. So it's not a perfect science, and there's certainly a lot of work going on in that area to get better.
Yeah, it's a curious component of it, but the other part of that, which I think is fascinating, is this willingness to go to, let's say, your local shop, and you go and hit a product, you're hitting with their golf balls. I rarely have had a conversation with someone where I don't say, like, yo, bring your own ball into this simulator. Don't use that ball that's in there. And they're like, well, you know, it's the same company. I'm like, but take a look at it, man. It looks like it's been sandpapered down for about a half hour. Like, I want to ask that question to you as someone who's way more involved in golf ball durability.
Yeah.
We all know what it's like when we get a scar on our ball outside. The desire to get rid of it as fast as possible is pretty clear. But then we go and hit these in the hitting bay that are just like almost worn down. Mm-hmm. How negative is that for a fitting?
It kind of depends, right? So a ball won't get old, if you want to call it that, with repeated use. Like, it's not going to get slower. It's not going to get, you know, obviously if it starts to crack, maybe. But hopefully no one's taken it to that level of extreme. But, you know, that we've always said, right, the hitting bay condition, if you want to call it that, is literally the worst durability condition for a golf ball that you can find, right? Because it's technically multiple impacts rather than just one, because you have the club face impact, but then you also have the impact with the net or the screen or whatever it may be. So it's like double impact. I mean, I've seen even in the thread on, you know, balls within THP, I've seen, you know, pictures of some of these balls that people are showing, and, oh, this is after a couple hundred hits. And it's like, you know, the logo's wearing off. It's like, well, what do you expect? I mean, that's not a normal condition that we're designing for, right? I mean, we're designing them for play, right? So yeah, if you do go to a place that does allow you to bring your own balls, it's always a great idea. And you should, because it's going to give you the best sense of the most reality to your situation, right? Like, I mean, I know I've been in, you know, a bar that has a simulator and I'll go in there and, you know, hit balls or whatever. And it's never the same as what you would expect. And I, my example of that is I have one of my really good friends is not a golfer by any stretch of the imagination, right? Doesn't know anything about it, right? Nothing, right? And there's a place here, it's a brewery that has one. He's like, oh, I was in there and I don't hit it nearly as far as I do in real life. He's like, you need to come with me and see. I'm like, oh, okay. And like, and I knew exactly what was happening, right? Like, you're not as good as you think you are. I mean, we hear people every day walking into our fitness base. How far do you hit your 7-iron, right? Oh, like 160, right?
175.
On the screen, it's 135,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. And like, well, you may have hit one ball one time, you know, 170 yards downhill, downwind, you know, all those things. But, you know, I get up there and he's like, do you think it's right? I'm like, yeah, it's generally pretty close. He's like, really? Because I think I hit it like, you know, 300. And I'm like, you don't hit it 300, right? Like, I know enough to be dangerous here and you don't hit it 300, right? Like, so it's just funny. But I think as long as we're doing it responsibly, you know, it's still a pretty good way to do it. But even still, right? And I use Chrome Soft and Chrome Tour X from our lineup, right, is the best example, or maybe even take it to Super Soft, right? And I've said this forever. If I walk in and get fit by you today with a Super Soft golf ball, and I walk in tomorrow and you fit me with a Chrome Tour X, if you fit me into the same golf club, that's a horrible fit. Because there's no way that based on the numbers in those golf balls that I should be in the same golf club. There's not a chance. Not a chance. So it plays a really big role in it, that most of the retailers are getting better about having a selection of balls to, even if it's to close the deal or to whatever it may be. And even the example I used of, hey, we showed you with the Quantum Driver that we picked up a mile an hour. Now try this Chrome Tour, pick a ball, and you see another mile an hour, like that becomes real to people. So, it's not particularly on the ball side. I would say it's not there yet, but it's definitely a part of the conversation a lot more than it ever was before. So I guess if you think about it, glass half full, better, but still a lot of upside in that area for us and everybody, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Do you have specific retail partners? Is there a desire for Callaway to have those golf balls in the simulators?
Yeah, we have some that use them. Kind of depends a little bit too on what device they're using. You know, some that have, say, a TrackMan or a radar based unit are going to look for, you know, a radar type ball because it helps. And we have that. So we have some that buy that from us. There's competitors that have that same type of product. So some will default to that. So yeah, I mean, it's all, I mean, there's a lot more to it from even the retailer's perspective, right? If they have everybody's balls in there, it's costing somebody something. Either they have to buy them or we right. got to give them to them, which costs us money. So, you know, just in the, and those are all, you know, conversations we have every day. So I think it's getting better. But there still are a lot of people go to these, you know, I'll call them simulator places, right? Which they're popping up everywhere and some do it much better than others. Right. Some, you know, Five Iron Golf, we have a relationship, right? So they have all our radar ball in their bays. They have what I call range balls too, for, you know, maybe if you want to call it the guys that are just coming in there to beat balls. But if they're doing something serious and that, they have the radar based ball. So it kind of depends on the situation, but a lot of the retailers have gotten a lot better in that space.
I'm going to ask you one more question about indoor stuff and then we can move mm-hmm. on to more of the current products. Mm-hmm. Understanding and knowing that simulator golf is growing, mm-hmm. what level of focus or how much effort goes into chasing a more durable version of a golf ball based on blasting into a hitting bay over and over and over again?
I wouldn't say it's become a massive focus for us. I think, you know, we're not going to do anything. We're going to make the durability as good as we can always, right? That's always our objective, right? And we've made significant strides in that area. And, you know, part of it comes down to paint systems versus non-paint systems and all that stuff. But, you know, to have a ball, there comes a point too where something's just not going to be durable in that environment, right? It's just not, right? You're not gonna be able to get to a point where if someone hits a ball 300 times into a net, it's the logo's gonna start to wear off. That you're gonna see some wear, you know, whether it's that it becomes black from the net or, you know, whatever it may be. You're never truly gonna stop that. But we're always striving to make the most durable product we have without sacrificing the performance of the product.
That's the big challenge, right? Like people want the ball to grab onto the club face, but then they don't want the ball to grab onto a hitting
net. Definitely things you could do to do that, but then the ball's not going to perform. So it's like, what do you want? You know?
Yeah.
So it's finding that balance. And we have done a, you know, generally speaking, right, firmer golf balls are going to perform better. Or last longer with prolonged driver hits in particular, right? But that's not always what people want to hit, right? They want to hit what they're playing and things like that. So
interesting.
It's an evolving space for sure.
Well, let's jump quickly to Tour. And I'm curious to know, because they've had a lot of time now with the new product. You guys had a pretty revolutionary concept that you've incorporated this year into golf ball. How has it gone out there? Have there been any surprising changes or adjustments made?
Not really. I think we worked pretty hard, both from consumer and tour feedback, that we think we had a pretty good spin profile across the board. The only thing we changed at all in this year's lineup from a spin profile perspective was in the X, where in the longer end of the bag, we lowered that spin a touch, right? Like 100, 200 RPM. But other than that, we haven't changed it a lot. So we've seen really good conversion into the products, because kind of goes back to even, you know, I'll lump tour players in. If you show them a ball that does everything that the one before did and it's faster, they're not going to turn that down, right? So I think that's really just the key. But we've had really good transition into this year's products. And that's what, you know, we always kind of measure ourselves on in that regard. And it's hard, right? Some of these guys, they get really used to, and you see it in other categories, right? And I know it's talked about all the time, right? If somebody's in an older driver or whatever the case may be. But you think about the money that these guys are playing for. If they get comfortable with something, it's hard to get them to switch, even if you show them a performance benefit, right? So, but in golf ball, we've really been successful in getting, you know, people into the new products.
With clubs, it's quite a bit more obvious when someone's playing something new and totally different. Are there any moments with ball where you've handed someone something to try and they're so enamored by it, you just let it roll and let them use it? Or is there a limitation on how you work with that?
A little bit. So, you know, the biggest thing is conforming list, right? Mm-hmm. So a ball has to be on the conforming list to be able to play it. So, you know, we're not doing it this year because our life cycles aren't a big secret to anyone, I don't think. We're not working on a tour. We're working on a tour ball, but we're not at the point where we're looking for feedback necessarily yet on prototypes. But we will be towards the end of the year. A lot of that's done under the disguise of, not the disguise, but look, we just want your feedback. We're not ready for you to take this yet. And sometimes we've run into challenges with that, right? And we will take something out on tour earlier, but you still got to go through the exercise of getting it on the list and being able to make those quantities and things like that. Cause it's pretty easy to make a couple dozen of a prototype. It's a lot harder to make the quantities that you need to satisfy, you know, tour players. If you were to roll it out. So it's a process for sure, but they're pretty good about understanding, and we try to be very clear and upfront with them when it is a, look, we want you to put this in play versus a, we want your feedback to make it the best product we can for you. Mm-hmm. And some are absolutely more willing than others to do that. Cause some A, don't want to fall in love with something, or they're just like, I'm here to work on my game. I want to work on my game, and I want to, you know, get the things that I'm here to dialed in. But some are always willing to help in that area. So it kind of just depends on the player a little bit too.
Do you want to throw a name out there? Someone who's the most excited when a new ball shows up to hit?
Well, we have one that used to be on our staff that is left-handed, if that may give it away. That was always partially because he was around a lot, right? But he was always open to test and tinker and find the next, you know, search for something. And, you know, through the years played a pretty significant role in some of the things we did in golf ball. But he is a little different too. So you got to be careful of how you know, really take in that feedback, and it can't be all, you know, based on one person. So it's a balancing act for sure, but some are definitely more open to it than others.
What's the most popular ball on tour right now?
Chrome Tour X.
Yeah. Is there a percentage that surprised you between the lineup or no?
No, I think, you know, what's funny is, you know, we knew when we did Triple Diamond that it probably wouldn't get a lot of tour play. And even where it does is, you know, it gets a little more play on the Korn Ferry. It gets a little more play in Europe. But you think about the style of golf course that they play is very different from the PGA Tour, right? And Triple Diamond, I mean, make no mistake about it, it's a lower spinning golf ball, right? So you think about the courses that are played on the PGA Tour every week. I mean, even watching some of the recent events, you know, you see balls bouncing through greens and things like that. And what people don't understand is the courses that you and I play every day, even though we think, and even if we go play a course that's maybe hosted a tour event, 51 weeks out of the year, it's not in the condition that they're playing it, right? I'll use Torrey as an example here in town, right? Like you go play Torrey, even in the summertime, it's very different than the conditions they're playing it in, right? The greens are a lot firmer, they're faster. The pins are way more tucked than they are for the everyday pins that you and I see in most cases. So they're playing a different level of game than many of us are. And they're much more capable of also working the ball a little bit more and trying to do that, right? Like I promise you, if I have a back right hole location, I'm not trying to hit a, you know, high floating fade back to that hole. I promise you. Right. Although some people may think they are, they're not, right. And they shouldn't be if they are. But that's the game that they play, which would imply why they need something like X, which gives them the most kind of control and spin throughout the bag.
Mm. Yeah. I used a Triple Diamond the other day for about five holes and I was pretty impressed by it, but,
right. You make no mistake about it. It's long.
Yeah.
But you know, unless you're a really high spin player, you can actually, it can be detrimental in some cases. So I think, you know, other than X being much more than it is, say, on the retail side, I would say it pretty much falls in lines with our expectations.
Does it?
Yeah.
What about retail? I'm really curious about that. Is there, again, same question, is there one real standout? And then is there one that has had a little bit more heat than you expected?
Well, expected versus want are maybe different things. you know, Chrome Soft in the Chrome lineup, we still sell more Chrome Soft than anything else. You know, there's a lot more history and heritage and people that have been playing that ball for 10 years now, right? But, you know, we continue to hit kind of all-time share highs and things like that, really because we're growing in that Chrome Tour platform, right? So Chrome Tour is sneaking up on Chrome Soft now, and, you know, X continues to grow at a, you know, some would say around here to me, not at the clip that we want it to, but it's still growing, right? And Triple Diamond's doing about what we expected it to do, because it's not for everybody, but it definitely has a home in our lineup. But yeah, I think it's generally gone the way we expected. We would obviously love to see our, you know, Chrome Tour balls generate more sales and more market share. We've definitely grown it since we launched it, you know, still relatively new to golfers, right? We're a little over 2 years in at this point. So we've seen good early results this year. Seen growth, you know, in the first couple months of this year. So all that's good news for us.
It's interesting you talk about the sort of lineage that Chrome Soft has at this point. It's crazy how old it is, honestly, already.
Yeah.
And you've also gone that route a little bit. You did the retro, which was a really cool thing. Yeah. And I do want to talk about that, but before I do, I'd love to hear perspective on the challenge of bringing something out that has a new profile. So Chrome Tour, it's no longer Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X. And, you know, there's always a fear, like the confusion level that golfers get. Well, I'll just go to the safe thing and get what I know and you know, move on from there. I assume for you guys, there's a level of importance that goes into that to say, this is what we're going with and it needs to be around for a while because we want people to relate to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where golf ball, frankly, is very different from the club side, right? Like in some ways it makes my job easier than my brother in on the club side, right? Where I don't need to worry about coming up with a new name every year. Right. And, but I also relate it back to, I started on golf ball in 2013. And we had been on that journey where we weren't really all that successful in the golf ball category. We made a good product, but never really took on. You know, we went through things like Hex Tour and Tour I and Tour IS, and then we did Speed Regime. And when I first started going out to visit with customers and some of the events, it was, well, I don't really, it's exactly what you just said. Like, I don't really know what it is because you're changing the name of it every time, right? You know, look at what, you know, ball X is, it's always the same, right? And I know that if I played that before, I know what it is, right? And they weren't wrong. But at the same time, if I would have walked in and pitched them on, here's Speed Regime 2.0, right? What would they have said to me? Like, well, that ball kind of sucked before and it didn't do well, so why would they take it? So it is a balancing act, right? But when you do change the family name of something, I think there's a couple things that are really important. One, you got to put a little more effort into why the change, what is it? And you also have to do it when you have the right product. And when we introduced Chrome Tour, Chrome Tour X, originally, we had a meaningfully different and better golf ball. So that was the time. I mean, we had been talking about that for multiple years, right? Of is soft actually hurting us in some cases, right? For some people, it's great, but it's not for everyone, right? And was that actually hurting us from the tour side? So it is a balancing act, but we had to spend a lot more time, effort, and energy in launching that product and building that, I'll call it sub-brand, if you will, out. But now we're at a point where, and that goes back to what I said earlier about not wanting to fundamentally change what those balls did, that if you played Chrome Tour in its first iteration, assuming that was the right ball for you, it's very likely that you're going to be playing Chrome Tour again. Same with X, same with, you know, whatever it is. So that's part of it too. But it's definitely important to, you know, and even all the way down to the color of the box, right? Because unfortunately, as much as we'd like everybody to remember, oh, I play the, you know, Chrome Tour X, there's still a lot of people that walk in and say, I play the black one, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of conversations like that throughout our lineup of, you know, if you come out with a new, let's call it ERC Soft, people come in looking for that blue box, right? And if you change that, even if you still called it ERC Soft, they're going to think that, oh, that's not my ball anymore. So it's a balancing act for sure.
And your point is really interesting because I can't tell you how many times I've mentioned Super Soft to someone, despite not being like completely in-depth familiar with the current version of it, to always say like, this is a great budget ball that has plenty of compression. You can always count on Super Soft, which is a really interesting thing. And I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that, but I mean, that is years upon years of that consistency, right?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's been a product for us that you know, I would call it like a workhorse for us, right? I mean, if you look at the market in total, there's actually more super soft sold from a unit perspective than there is any other ball. Dollars is a little different story, obviously, because the price is a little bit different. But, you know, and it's a great golf ball for a lot of people that are budget conscious, or, I mean, it can be the right ball for some people too, right? I think about, you know, if I go play with my dad, who's terrible, is, you know, 80 years old, doesn't have a lot of speed, hits the ball, you know, knee high, it's going to be a great ball for him because it's going to feel great even when he, you know, inevitably misses the center of the face every single time. So it's going to feel good, right? But he's going to have a chance to get that ball up in the air and not just dribble it onto the front of the green. He may actually have a chance to get it to the green. It's one of the things, you know, personally, being the guy that works on the golf ball category every day, that I'm proud of, is that each product has a pretty distinct, not only profile that we're going after with it, so kind of regardless of price, we're going to make the best ball that we can within that price. I mean, you're never going to get, you know, if you get the gentleman or the lady that says, well, I want to spin it like Phil, right? Well, let's start with, they don't have the talent to do that from a, you know, the simplest perspective, but, you know, even Phil's not going to have a chance to spin back a super soft. But that's not what it's designed to do, right? It's designed to be easy to get up in the air, to feel really soft, have that flight that's going to, you know, be easier for people to be more successful with. So I think each ball within our line has a pretty distinct purpose, which I like. And we provide something from kind of, you know, the top of the line down to the, you know, more value side of it with super soft and certainly Warbird too.
Well, let's talk retro, because I thought I have an interesting story for you since you just recently released it.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with, and they asked me what Callaway ball should I play? And I said, you know, Chrome Soft, pretty comfortably. It's a great fit for them. And the day that Retro released, they sent me a picture holding on to a Callaway golf ball. I'm like, do they already have it in hand? Like, that was really fast to buy, but it looked like the retro run you guys just did. Turns out it was one of the originals from 2000 with the number 4 on it. So I was like, for sure, like, that's pretty wild. But they had just happened to find it on the golf course that day. Yeah. I'm like, what are the odds that I'm reading this release on THP this morning, and then they send me a picture of that later in the day? What a fun callback. And man, did it ever kick up a little history in my mental bank too. Why go for that now? What was the idea there?
Well, I think it's a couple things, right? So for me, who was here when we introduced the original Rule 35, right? It was definitely a cool thing to be able to do and celebrate that, because that was a big moment in time for us, right? Like, to think about where we've come in the golf ball category from zero to where we are today. I mean, it's our single biggest category for us as a company, golf ball is. So it's made a meaningful difference to our business in that business. But kind of to celebrate that heritage, right? Kind of retro-y things are fairly popular, I would say, these days across, you know, multiple, you know, industries, even, you know, fashion, things like that. You're getting, I mean, look at what some of the guys on tour are wearing, right? You're starting to see some baggier pleated pants. You know, we'll probably see some cuffs next. So that piece of it's important. But it's also, you know, little things like, you know, having a straight logo on a golf ball. You're seeing that a little bit more from us. Is that something we would ever want to do? And, you know, there's a lot of little nuanced things that you can get feedback on along the way, kind of regardless of how it does. But for me, like, I've been playing that since I've had them. Just because for me, I get to play the golf ball that I love, but I get to play it with that. So it's been cool for me too, to be a part of that.
Well, I don't mind you using those. If you show up and you start getting all this new baggy trend and all that nonsense, that's a problem.
I've been through that phase. I don't need to go back to that.
Yeah. Why do we have to recall, like, this is a fun one. This is a good one to bring that nonsense back. I can't even believe you mentioned it in the same sentence, Finley.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's to prove the point though, that, you know, kind of those retro things. I mean, you look on eBay any day of the week, some of our really old, you know, stacked logo hats like Jim Dent and Jim Colbert used to wear, like you can fetch a lot of money for those things. I wish I would have kept some of my old stuff that I had. Could have had a nice little side hustle going, but
Is that like a "I told you so" moment for the wife at home? Like, hey, we should have kept it all in the garage, filling up the entire house.
Yeah, I don't want that stuff around. I tend to move through it pretty quickly, but yeah, I think it's and I'm far from like the fashionista guy myself, so I'm pretty straight laced. I mean, I got black pants and a gray pullover on today, right? That's kind of my MO. I may mix in a, you know, gray pant and a blue shirt, or a khaki and a white shirt or something, but I'm pretty straightforward, right? You're not going to see me with a big floral print or something like that, but you know, you can at least pay attention to that stuff and know what's going on. So yeah, it's kind of a combination of all those things, but it's done well. So we're excited about it. The April Major one did really well for us too. Yes. That one's pretty cool.
Speaking of floral, I have to talk about this because the last time I had you on, I talked about how I still hunt for the Queen City balls from last year, the blue ones. And, you know, it's funny how you latch onto a design and you just get like all into it. And yeah. I saw these at the golf course this year. I saw them online, but then I saw them in hand at the golf course this year. I'm like, oh, they did it. They went for something different. And I love it because it's like that 360 wrap, this style that is totally different than what my expectations were, but also incredibly cool. So talk to me a little bit about why you guys went in that direction instead of what we saw last year.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a balance, right? Because a lot of these balls that we've done have done really well. So it can be a battle of, okay, do we want to run the same play because it worked, or do we want to try something different? And it's a little bit of both, right? To try and keep it fresh and do things differently than we've ever done. The April Major one in particular is probably harder than most to do, just because there's so many rules and watch outs and pitfalls along the way. But all of them, all the major balls, right? So much of that stuff is protected, you know, whether it's using a course logo or something distinctive in the city, even, you know, we go through legal review and stuff like that. So it's just having a mix, right? So you think of the first two we've done in the, or first three we've done in the Chrome family this year, you had hearts, which was the traditional, you know, Truviz. And then we did the stripe on the April Major, and we did the retro play on that one. And having a little insight to what's to come, you'll see a little bit of a mix of both of those things, or all of those things, going forward from us too. So, it's just, you know, having some differentiation and things to get people excited, right? It's what we found very successful about these limited edition drops is that a couple things. One is it gives us other reasons to talk about, right? You're seeing on THP more news about the Chrome Tour golf ball if we're coming out with an April Major or the retro. And it may be that you haven't played that ball in the past, but you really like that ball, so you're going to play it. Like, use your Queen City example. If you didn't play a Callaway ball, but you really like that, maybe you're more likely to play a Callaway ball. So that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But it's another way to keep kind of excitement going throughout the year around the products. And, you know, it's way to keep energy in the market that we're all trying to do. So that's a big part of it too.
I will say the Queen City purchase was an online buy after a few pops last year. But the one that did get me was that the Turnbox was sitting in my pro shop. I'm like, nothing would make my boys more angry than making a bunch of birdies on them with a bag of potato chips smiling at them from my golf ball. Yeah. So that, you know, that one is the one that, and I have no doubt that you're spot on. People see that and suddenly it doesn't matter what ball it is. Suddenly they just want to play that design, which is so ridiculous and so off what we're trying to talk about, but what a great entry point into a brand or a company or a style of golf ball. It's cool. Mm-hmm. So,
and it is fun to like, it's fun, but also a tremendous pain for us that work on those, because, you know, it's pretty hard to sit in a room of, you know, sales guys, whatever, management, and, you know, talk through the technology of a product with, you know, the head of R&D. Like, no one's really going to question them on, you know, why the dimple pattern is this depth or anything like that. But everybody has a say when it comes to, well, why did you put ketchup on that hot dog versus, you know, so it's definitely like, it's fun to go through the exercise, but it's definitely more challenging because everybody has an opinion on them. Right. So I'd be lying if I didn't say we spend probably a little more time on those in some cases than we should maybe, but it gives, you know, the designers love it too, because it gives them a break from their normal day to day to do some fun stuff too. So it's a fun combination and certainly fun. And I think, you know, with what we've done with the packaging has been cool to see, right? So we've gotten it to where we have all custom packaging. So it adds another layer to it. And some of the packaging we have coming up this year is really cool. So
yeah, Q&A sessions are terrifying. Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone's had a hot dog. Not everyone's designed a golf ball. So I can understand where the challenges lie.
Well,
there.
And even I go back, you know, we have a kind of a twice yearly, like everybody from around the world comes in and, you know, all the senior team from around the world. And, you know, I'm going through what we're going to do in these. And I put the original hot dog ball there. And you won't believe the amount of grief that we got when we did that. Right. And what are we doing? And you know, and then get up the following year, same meeting a year later, and presented the plan for the following year. And we didn't have hot dogs in there. It's like, where's the hot dog? It's like, it did well. Right. So it's definitely a fun exercise that we get to do that is a little more painful maybe than I would like it. But so
it's fun. I love it. It's been fun to hear about. Like, I always really enjoy the deep tech dives we do when you come on and talk about the new concepts and, you know, what people get to look forward to when they play the product, but being able to talk through execution and application, I think is a really cool side of the conversation as well.
And it sounds like you get to make it in some cases, right? Like,
yeah,
it's really easy for a designer to come up with a cool idea, but then you got to figure out how to make it too, which is always a balancing act that we have too. I mean, some of the ideas we've had that we haven't been able to execute that we're working on being able to execute are pretty good too. So it's fun.
Cool. Well, you've been pretty tame today, my friend. Any heckling you want to do, or are you feeling good?
No, I'm not. You know, I think, you know, that there's a time and a place for that. I think we'll get there. I'm just getting back into playing a little golf, and you know, my game's not where I want it to be yet. I got to get a little strength back and get back out there a little bit more, but feeling good and ready to do that. And I think this summer I'm going to hopefully get my handicap down to a more respectable level, because it's probably higher than it's been in 30 years.
Well, so we know if anyone's stubborn enough to do that, it's you. So we're in good shape.
Well, the good news is that the handicap I'm at, I'm a very good partner at least. So,
okay.
It's there's pieces of it still there, that's for sure. But it's just the getting the stupidness out of double bogeys and things like that. So I'll get
the verbal piece is still there. It's the physical part.
Oh yeah, that never goes away. It's always my 15th club.
I love it. Well, hey, thanks for coming on, man. I always appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
For sure. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Check out some of these new releases. Don't get scared if you see an old Rule 35 looking ball on the golf course. It might actually be a gem from 2026. Yep. So take a close look before you take a picture and put it on Instagram like you found a relic. We'll see you guys next week.